All right, I have an admittedly insane idea, but if I don't ask you this, it's just, you know, it's gonna haunt me the rest of my life.
What?
I want to keep talking to you, you know? I have no idea what your situation is, but I feel like we have some kind of, connection, right?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, right. Well, great. So listen, here's the deal. This is what we should do. You should get off the train with me here in Vienna and come check out the town.
What?
Come on, it'll be fun.
What would we do?
I don't know. All I know is I have to catch an Austrian Airlines flight tomorrow morning at 9:30, and I don't really have enough money for a hotel, so I was just going to walk around, and it'd be a lot more fun if you came with me. And if I turn out to be some kind of psycho, you know, you just get on the next train. All right. Think of it like this. Jump ahead 10, 20 years, okay? And you're married. And only your marriage doesn't have that same energy that it used to have. You know, you start to blame your husband. You start to think about all those guys you've met in your life and what might have happened if you picked up with one of them, right? Well, I'm one of those guys. That's me. You know, so think of this as time travel from then to now to find out what you're missing out on. See, what this really could be is a gigantic favor to both you and your future husband to find out that you're not missing out on anything. I'm just as big a loser as he is, totally unmotivated, totally boring, and you made the right choice and you're really happy.
Let me get my bag.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Stuff We've Seen. This is Jim. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Hey, and speaking of Valentine's, here he is, the space cowboy himself. Some call him Maurice because he speaks of the pompetus of love.
Wasn't there a movie called The Pompetus of Love?
You are correct. And so,
with John Cryer.
Yes, and so pompetus is a fake made-up word.
Right, yeah, Steve Miller made it up.
Yep, and then it becomes its own, you know, it has its own word identity, and it becomes actually a meaning. I forget there's a term for that, and I don't know what it is.
A neologism?
Maybe that's what it is.
No, perhaps. I don't think it is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about. The pompetus of love, or maybe it is.
We are here to talk about the pompetus of love.
Yes, it's Valentine's Day, or very close to it, and, you know, after the last couple of weeks, which...
Our journey into darkness.
Our own apocalypse. We thought that we would lighten the mood and bring you tales of romance and whatnot.
Yes, we're going to have some tales of romance, and we're also going to have my list of Valentine's movies. Which might be their own journey into darkness.
Oh, no. So we have alternative Valentine's Day film selections.
Yes. And I have to say, I did my research on this list. I did a lot of research on the best romances and the best Valentine's Day movies. And out of all those lists I looked at, there's only one movie that's on my list, too.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying only one of your films crosses over with all of those other nerds.
Exactly.
So you're going to do alternative Valentine's Day movie selections. I'm going to tell a couple of tales of my favorite movie date experiences.
Yes.
From back in the day.
And I've got one or two of those, too. Well, maybe just one. But... okay, so let's talk about my list. I have a little bit of a theory behind my list, and I'm going to tell you that first.
Of course you are.
So in my experience, a lot of romance movies have exactly the same plot, right? There is, and they all kind of focus, not all, but a lot of them, the typical Hollywood romantic comedy is about the initial stages of a relationship. It starts with a meet cute. There's an attraction that people realize they like each other. They flirt, they debate, they decide to come together. And then there's a little, sort of in the middle of the movie, and every love story has this. It's what Kurt Vonnegut in Mother Night calls the Nation of Two. And it's this moment in the movie where there's this little bubble with these two people, and the outside world disappears, and it's just them. The whole world is them. Then there's conflict that comes in after that, conflict with the outside world, and maybe conflict between them, and they sometimes, usually, they break up and then get back together. And
you've just described the entire plot of La La Land.
Yes. And then at the end, either love conquers all or you can't fight the universe. So either love conquers all and they end up happy and the rest of their lives are going to be perfect, or you have Romeo and Juliet. A lot of romance movies focus on this sort of initial stage of romance, which is called, man, I'm going off on a rabbit hole here. It's called limerence, which is sort of this initial stages of love where everything is kind of glowing and wonderful. And it got me thinking, you know, sometimes a romance movie is too much about the beginning and not enough about the long term. And what got me thinking about this was the movie Cold War, which starts with that kind of glorious moment of love and then covers a relationship over a long period of time and all the trials and tribulations it goes through. And so this got me thinking about movies that are about couples as opposed to movies that are about people meeting. Even though, of course, there's a meeting in these movies. But so the first movie on my list is Brokeback Mountain. And that's the one that comes up on all the other lists.
Okay.
Brokeback Mountain, I think, is a great long-term love story about people coming up against the universe. So anyhow, Brokeback Mountain, maybe a little bit on the sadder side. So I'll give you two more. These are accessible.
You're not necessarily the most uplifting.
Yeah,
films.
Not necessarily the most uplifting. Okay, I'll give you an uplifting one. This is a guilty pleasure of mine. It's not the greatest movie, but guilty pleasure of mine from the 80s. The Money Pit, starring Tom Hanks and Shelley Long.
That is an interesting romance film, and it is kind of a favorite, you know, of the household. We've all seen it. It's
yeah.
When that turkey goes flying through the house.
Exactly, and it's a movie about a couple dealing with the world as opposed to dealing with each other. It's the two of them up against this house, really.
Yes, and, you know, as quite often can happen is when life gets in the way of romance, as it
yes.
does in that movie, that it can almost tear them apart.
Exactly. It almost tears them apart. And but again, a movie about a couple. So another movie along those lines, True Lies.
I hate that movie.
I knew you would. Some of these,
I'm not necessarily recommending films, but that particular movie just never worked for me.
I've only seen it twice. I saw it once in the theater and then once on video. I'm definitely not highly recommending it, but if you're looking for an action film for your Valentine's Day viewing, this one is about a married couple as opposed to, you know, the guy gets the girl kind of story.
All right. Well, I'm a little shaky on that recommendation.
Okay. Well, you'll like this one then.
Okay, good. Let's bring us back on a high note.
I'm bringing it back to a high note. I have at least one other film on my list that I know for a fact you hate, but it's not one. It's not this one. Bring this back to a high note. The Thin Man.
Oh, that's a classic.
And all the Thin Man movies.
Right, you could go on a whole Valentine's Day binge, even though they do that on New Year's instead. But
I don't know why. I mean, I guess because they're always drinking.
Is that it? Or I used to always think that maybe there's like some of the Thin Man movie plots have to do with New Year's Day, but it's probably just a celebration that they have 24/7.
I think it's just, but yeah, you could do a whole Valentine's Day Thin Man, great series of movies about a couple solving crimes.
I've only seen, I think, the first one.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen three of them, I think. And they're all really fun from the 30s.
And it's good because, you know, a lot of people, honestly, especially today's day and age, have not seen it. So if you're looking for recommendations of movies that, you know, oh, I've never seen, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Thin Man is great. Now I'll throw out the other one that I know you're going to hate, and then I'll let you tell a story.
Oh, great. I get to tell a story. You tell me a movie I hate. Yay.
Yeah. Okay, you ready? Here's the movie you hate. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, yeah, I will take a bag of True Lies over Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which I guess the interesting story of that is not the movie so much as the behind the scenes romance. And then, of course, the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie had a real life romance movie where they start off with this whirlwind and then they end up in a messy divorce.
They end the universe won.
Oh, I was going to say, that doesn't have the Tom – their Tom Arnold is Vince Vaughn, right?
Yes.
He's in that.
Yes. He. Again, not highly recommended, but it goes into the True Lies category of an action movie about a couple. And they're in couples therapy and stuff. And, you know, not my favorite movie, but not one you're going to find on a lot of Valentine's lists.
I think what the challenge is going to be is, can you find a couples action movie where it's good? Because you've just told me two, and I hate them both.
Yeah, and you hate them both, yeah.
And I really do. I haven't seen True Lies in many, many years, and maybe I'd watch it again and say, it wasn't so bad, but no, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. My jaw was on the floor of how bad I thought that movie was.
Yeah, and not my favorite movie. Although I do like Doug Liman, so...
I know. Well, that's probably what made you see it. And that's the same thing with me. I was like, oh, you know, Doug Liman's always doing something interesting. But everybody, you know, has that one failure. Yeah.
So anyhow, that's the beginning of my list.
Ooh, okay. So we're going to get back to the teal picks. And now I actually kind of want to scrap my stories and just go with all his picks because it's kind of fun to hear these. But we're gonna get into the Wayback Machine and we're going to take you all the way back just about 30 years, to the fall of 1989.
Okay.
All right. So
I remember.
I don't know where.
I was alive.
You do.
Then. I was
you
alive.
Were.
Then.
I don't, you know, some of you out there may not have been, but Teal was. And it was at this time that I first met Teal. This is not a romance story
about Teal the and I. Yeah. Well, you know, but there are friendship stories, too, which are not that different structurally from love stories.
Right. We're still in the middle portion of our friendship. We haven't gotten to the ugly end yet. And this is not a story about the romantic beginnings of our friendship. I don't think you're really even involved too much in this story. But in 1989, I arrived in New York City on the NYU campus, which they didn't really have a campus. It's kind of a joke. They were smack dab in the middle of Greenwich Village. And there's just a series of buildings amongst other buildings that they had not yet purchased or could not purchase. But so I was there. I was transferring from California, where I went to school for a year. And I got into the film program at NYU, which was the Tisch School of the Arts. It probably still is the Tisch School of the
probably
Arts.
Probably still is, yeah.
Yeah. And that's where I first met Teal. You were attending there as a freshman, and I was a sophomore.
Yep.
So here's the background for it.
I remember that.
Yeah. And then this is not the story of how we met, but, you know, we had met and I was going about my business. And, you know, one of the things that you do as a youngster, you're especially in the city of New York, it is a romantic city. And there's lots of movies that take place there focused on romance. And I think for every young artist going to school in New York there, it's, you know, you're not looking to hook up so much as you're looking for a romance. That sounds maybe corny, but it's really a feeling in New York where you're not just searching for companionship. You're searching to have a great romance with somebody.
Well, and that's kind of what I was talking about, those movies that are about the beginning of love and that kind of giddy feeling.
Yeah, and it's a great place. New York, when you have that giddy feeling with someone special and you're in New York City, it is this great combination, creates a chemistry in your body. You just have a feeling and it's like a drug and you want that. And so, you know, myself, like everybody else, was in search of that. And, you know, I was only having, you know, moderate successes here and there, various interests that in college, you know, a romance that lasts a week is, you know, pretty standard. And, you know, I've kind of been fumbling about going on like, you know, a little date here and a little date there with this girl or that girl. What was exciting for me was coming to the film school, I was meeting girls who had similar interests
right.
in the arts for the first time, you know, in my life, that there were girls that actually
loved
the
movies. There were other movie geeks who were women.
Exactly. And that was not just a rarity where I came from, but it was like it was non-existent. So now I'm finding not just one girl, but multiple girls that had similar interests and even more importantly, seemed to be interested in me,
Ooh,
which I wasn't used to that. And it was kind of crazy.
Those of us who just watched horror movies through high school, I think, you know, that says something.
Yes, I watched a little bit more than just horror movies.
Oh, I did too, but we were both Fangoria readers.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know how to talk to girls. I didn't know how to ask girls out. My freshman year of college really
learn all that from watching movies?
I know, that was the killer. For me, it was really the Brady Bunch that it totally messed with my head because Greg Brady and Marsha, they were always going on dates and it just seemed like the thing that happened in high school.
Yeah.
And then I could not really make that happen to save my life. you know, I finally got a girlfriend at the end of my senior year, but boy, it was a struggle to get there. So, you know, I'm on this campus and, you know, hanging out with this person or that person and, you know, my brain's trying to figure it all out. And there was one girl, that I met at the art school that I started hanging out with, but it was very quickly we were in the friend zone. You know, we all know that zone. And having, just recently seen, movie Harry Met Sally, which came out the end of that summer.
Yep.
It was also another mind trick thing where it really introduced this notion of that men and women can't be friends, right? Because one's always attracted to the other. And if that's a New York romance movie.
Definitely. That is not on my list.
I know. I like that movie a lot. See, I'm more of like, you know, if I'm going to go for my romantic comedies, I do like things that tug at the heartstrings a bit.
I like that movie a lot. Yeah.
And we're not going to tell a Harry Met Sally story, but no. I remember always thinking, especially when I was in the friend zone with somebody that maybe I liked a little bit more, or even the opposite. I was in the friend zone with a girl who I could kind of tell maybe liked me a bit more.
Right.
And I didn't necessarily feel that same way. It complicated things. So I was in sort of a complicated romance. And it was a romance because we were getting very close, but it was made very clear at one moment that we were just friends. You know, some complications happened, and I think she thought maybe I liked her more. I may have played my hand out a little too soon or the wrong way. And now I was having to backpedal and kind of say, no, we're just friends, we're just friends. And meanwhile, behind the scenes, I'm like, damn it, this is awful. And what's going to happen is there'll come a day where she meets somebody and they start going out, and then that just leaves me in, you know, not even in the friend zone anymore. So, meanwhile, the film school itself,
yes.
You can attest to this. There were girls that attended the film program at NYU. And at the time, the film program was pretty small. I mean, I think the whole film program was about 150, 170 kids.
Oh, it was that small? I didn't realize that. Wow.
It was pretty small. Maybe it was 200, but it was very small. I mean, compared to the USC school, which was maybe 50 kids, it was huge. But there really wasn't that many kids in the program. And I would say, hopefully it's changed since then, but in our day, there were not too many females.
It was very male, yes.
Yes, it was very male-focused. There weren't a lot of females. There were a lot of females in the art school, like in the acting school or in the photography department.
You know, it's interesting you say this because my film crew for Sight and Sound, which is sort of the intro film class, and you team up with a few other students and work on each other's films throughout the semester.
Yeah, it was all girls, right?
My film crew was entirely women. Yes.
I remember them.
Yeah.
I remember because I sat in on your class a few times.
Yeah, they were awesome.
The big frizzy hair.
Yeah, the girl with the huge frizzy hair and her fingernails were so long that she had trouble working the camera.
Jeez.
she was great, though.
You know, there were pockets, but I mean, by and large, there weren't a lot of females in the school. And that was just the reality. It's not a statement. It's a reality. So Most of the girls that I was meeting were from around campus, or, you know, just through friends, or I worked in the photo department and there were a lot more females attending the photo school. So it really wasn't the film school. I had this class, you said intro to film.
Yeah.
I took the intro to film that fall semester, but I also took introduction to screenwriting.
Oh, right.
And you'd have a big class and you'd have an overall lecture and you'd see a movie. And then somewhere later that week, you'd be branched out into smaller groups from the class.
Right. Yeah.
And have some individual work with the professor. And so I had this small study group that was in this class, maybe like 10 kids. And out of the 10, there was only one female in the class.
Wow. Okay.
And her name was Laura. And because I transferred into school, I didn't go there freshman year. And all these other kids in this particular study group all knew each other.
Oh. You know,
they were all friends. They'd be film geeking it up each week. And I would just sit there, never said a word, and I just listened. And this Laura girl, she was a good-looking girl. All the boys in this class who knew her, it was pretty clear to me. It was always great. When you're an observer, right, and you're not a participant, you see all kinds of things. And I knew that like five or six of these guys all had a crush on her. And of course, she was one of the few girls in the film program. I never even talked to her. I mean, I may have had to answer a question or say something in class discussion.
Right.
But I had never said hello. I just happened to know her name through the other kids because, again, I was listening and seeing them slobbering all over her. And that was kind of it. So we take place early November. And, again, right now, the girl that I've been investing a lot of my time with, hanging out in the friend zone, really had just hit this point where she was made it clear we're just friends, and maybe she was now angling to, well, we should probably take a step back.
Right. Oh, a step back from the friend zone even.
Well, I'm joking. I think it was sort of like we were hanging out on the weekend. We were hanging out as a couple without being a couple. And so as the weekend was approaching, it was kind of clear that she was going to have other plans. And I was pretty much like, well, okay, we're not on the outs, but this is not going too good. So we're in the middle of the week, and I was working in the photo department, and I was maybe about to go to work. So I was downstairs outside the building, which was in 721 Broadway. We always know that. We call the building the 721 Broadway. Across the road from the street was, not Broadway, but the side street.
Right, yeah.
There was this Deli on, right?
Yep.
Everybody went there to get their, their sandwiches and drinks and whatever, and I'm in the back getting a beverage, and I don't know why I remember this, but I do. It was a ginger ale.
Okay.
I don't know. That could be an important nugget of the story. I don't know. So I'm getting the ginger ale, and then a voice calls to me, and I turn around, and it is this girl from my screenwriting class, Laura.
Oh.
She's dressed in sort of this long, not a trench coat, but some kind of long wintry jacket. She has a really big smile on her face, and she says, I've been looking all over for you.
Okay.
And this confused me because I had never, ever had a conversation with her in my life. Never. And I thought, well, maybe there's an assignment or something like that she missed. I don't recall her missing any class, but maybe. And I said, oh, okay, really? All right, what can I do for you? And I was a pretty clueless guy back then,
right?
So, this is just, I really didn't know why this person would be searching for me and finding me in the deli. I'm like, did she track me down or was this just a coincidence? And she said, well, so did you hear that the Cinema Village is playing Blade Runner and Clockwork Orange this weekend?
Oh, yeah, classic double feature.
The Cinema Village was this little revival house on East 11th Street. It was actually one street over from where I was living that particular year.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah, that's right. It wasn't, yeah, it was just right
around the corner from you. Yeah, or no, it was 12th Street. I'm sorry, I was on East 11th. It was on East 12th.
Yeah.
But if you could draw a line from the theater directly through the streets, it probably lined right up with the brownstone that I was renting a living room out of.
That's right. Yes, you were living in the living room.
Yes, and we actually had somebody that was living in what was considered the closet.
Yes.
It had a window, so I guess it was counted as an apartment.
Technically not a closet.
It was literally a closet. So they show double features, a different one every day, and I saw so many movies that year at this theater. So it wasn't uncommon. It was kind of like the campus at NYU didn't have really their own big auditorium to show movies. So if you wanted to see classic films, you just went yourself over to the Cinema Village.
Right. Yeah.
So I had known that this double feature, because how could you not, in the film school, Blade Runner and A Clockwork Orange, you knew that this dystopian double bill was playing that weekend. And
it really appeals to a very specific type of audience.
Yes.
That double feature. Yeah.
Tailor-made for the NYU film school crowd. And I had thought about it. I'd actually kind of given some consideration. This guy that was in my film class, this guy Mike Nuzzo.
Oh, yeah, Mike Nuzzo.
Yeah. I mean, he and I would go see these movies all the time, and he loved Blade Runner and sci-fi. So I had thought about maybe asking him, but I hadn't got around to it yet. It was kind of one of those maybe game day decisions.
Right.
I was probably waiting to see if things might materialize with my friend zone friend and probably waiting to the last minute, but had no plans. So she says, you know, have you heard of the plane? I said, oh, yeah, I've heard it. And she's like, oh, are you going? And I said, well, I thought about it. She's like, oh, great. Well, maybe we could go. And I'm like, sure. Oh, okay. And now my brain is really moving fast going, what's going on?
Wait a minute.
And she had the smile, and before I could really even say much, she's like, well, great, well, we'll meet at the theater. Like, I think it started at 7:30. She's like, we'll meet at the theater around 7. And that, you know, in the days before cell phones or anything, that just...
That's how it worked. No texting.
You made plans, and okay, hopefully somebody shows up, which not all the time people showed up. You went there, and things either happened or didn't. So I said, that sounds great. And she goes, great, it's a date. See you then. And she, like, zoomed out of there. And I'm left with the door to the soda cabinet open, thinking, what the hell just happened? Did I just get asked out on a date? And I really was just like, I wasn't sure because, you know, I had already been familiar with just going on sort of friendly dates to the movies with girls from school and stuff. And it just seemed so strange that somebody I had never spoken to, but I did know, found me out, and then asked me to the theater, the movies with them that Saturday night. And it was exciting. Now I was excited because I had been spending a few weeks with this other person, having a really great friendly romance and being told it's just friends. And I can't, you know, I couldn't find a way to make a move there because I didn't want to jeopardize the friendship.
Right.
And here... somebody just made it look so easy in one fell swoop, said, hey, you want to go to the movies? Yeah, it's a date. Goodbye.
Great.
So, you know, now on the sort of flip side, I'm all excited because it doesn't matter if this other girl wants to hang out with me. I've got this new girl who doesn't just want to hang out with me. She invites me to go to the movies. So Saturday night comes. And, of course, I live so close to the theater that I'd just get there a few minutes early just in case we're going to be busy. I get there. I'm waiting. And I see a lot of people going into the theater. And there's only one movie screen. So
right,
if you're not going to see that double feature, you're not going in there. And it was, you know, starting to get really busy. And I was thinking, well, geez, what if it sells out? I'm like, I better buy the tickets. You know, there was no really discussion of whether or not...
all going to work, yeah.
Well, yeah, because I had never been asked out by a girl before, so should I be buying the tickets? Are we buying our own? I really didn't know. You know, I didn't have you hanging out to give me the rules. You were always like a good coach. And we were friendly, but we weren't hanging out a lot then. So I was like really nervous that she would show up late and we wouldn't be able to go in there. And then what? So I went and bought the tickets. And now, as I still see more and more people going in, it's 7:05. And she was supposed to be here already. and she wasn't. And now I have two tickets and maybe nobody to see the movie with. But then lo and behold, I start to see this figure coming down the street. And it's her. And I'm like all relieved, because then you feel like, okay, this wasn't some kind of elaborate prank.
Right.
Somebody really did invite me to the movies, and there she is. And she showed up, and I said, hey, you know, it's been kind of busy. And now it was like getting towards 7:15. There wasn't a lot of time. And I said, so I bought the tickets. And she said, that's great. I'll buy the popcorn.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm like, I got the tickets. She was cool with that. She wasn't like, oh, I should give you money back. She was more like, oh, yeah, that's what a date would do.
Right.
But I'll buy the popcorn. So I'm feeling pretty great, you know, where we sit down. It's very busy. We're kind of in the back. And, you know, we have our popcorn. And that was a good kind of move, because it gave us a chance to kind of have the hands together, the popcorn, you know. But the movie, we got in so late, there wasn't a lot of time to kind of talk and decompress and sort of say, hey, so how did this all come about, right? And so I still, throughout the movie, had this feeling, is this a date or is it? I don't know. You know, we were close. We were kind of cozy. It was still a great feeling. And it's weird because Blade Runner doesn't really exude romantic film.
No, not really.
But, you know, this is like the third or fourth time I'd seen it in the theater.
So was Blade Runner first and then Clockwork Orange?
Yes. Yeah, so Blade Runner's first. And
because,
you know,
Clockwork Orange is really not a date movie.
I know, but you're jumping ahead.
Okay, man. Sorry. Go ahead.
It is one of the weirdest date movies you could ever be on. And you wouldn't just take – you wouldn't invite somebody who wasn't from film school, who was a female, to go see Clockwork Orange on a date, okay? Which is why it was even weirder that a girl invites me to see it and was all excited to see those movies. But that's how film school worked, right? The kids really appreciated films like this. And then Blade Runner was great, you know? Yeah. The more you watch a movie like that, the more you like it.
Now, this would have been the original cut of Blade Runner.
This would have been the Harrison Ford narration, yes.
I'd quit because I'd had a belly full of killing. But then I'd rather be a killer than a victim. And that's exactly what Bryant's threat about little people meant. So I hooked in once more, thinking that if I couldn't take it, I'd split later. I didn't have to worry about Gaff. He was brown-nosing for a promotion, so he didn't want me back anyway.
Yeah, and people still liked it. That's the thing. Oh, yeah. The reputation was built,
yes,
long before Ridley Scott fixed some of those mistakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good. And, of course, I'm invested in the film, but I'm also, you know, you're in that thing where you're on a date with somebody, or is it a date? I don't know.
It's a little distracting.
Exactly. So, you know, but it's, you know, you just have that warm, squishy feeling, you know, this is like, whoa, world of possibilities. So the film is over and people are kind of going out. So not everybody's seeing both movies.
Right.
People are coming in. And I mean, she, I think, had to go to the bathroom, and then she comes back and, you know, we start talking and she says to me, so like when I asked you to the movies, what did you think? Did you know? She says, did you know this was a date, right? And I'm like, I almost, my brain jumps back. This is like out of some kind of movie. Who says this? This is like my fantasy that I don't have to do any work here. Someone's actually saying, hey, yes, I asked you on a date. You know that, right? And I, of course, played it real cool and said, oh, yeah, 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 I knew. And now I'm like, you know what? Why can't men and women do this? It's so much easier. State your intentions right up front.
Just communicate like adults. Well, the thing is, you know, you were teenagers.
I know.
It takes a while to figure out how to communicate.
It was so wonderful. I'm like, boy, if things could just, like, you know, if like the first time I ever went out on a friend date with this other girl, if I had just said, hey, is this a date or is this just...
Don't get rid of all the worrying and second guessing and just, you know, come out and say what you need to say.
So now this sets things up much differently, you know, for the second movie, because I'm like, oh, okay, we're on a real date. She likes me. I had no idea that the whole time we're sitting in this classroom together that, and I'm not saying a word, that while all these other guys are checking her out, she was checking me out. That's pretty cool. But then, so there's still a few more minutes for them. Now I'm like, you know, now we're having great conversation, right? And then way down in the back, in the front of the theater, this crazy person starts waving at me. And it was pretty, I'm like, at first I didn't know why, well, what's that crazy kid down there doing? And this kid was really trying to get my attention. And I look, and there's this short kid with circle glasses and super long, straight black hair, halfway down to his waist.
Yes. I remember this guy.
Yeah. His name was Wellington.
Yes.
Wellington, a kid that I knew from the photo department. He was a photo student, freshman. He's waving me down. And he jumps up out of his seat and comes zooming up. And he's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, hi. Hey, yeah. I'm like, you know, with my, I didn't say it was my, I think maybe right. I did. I was like, this is my date, Laura. He's like, hey, yeah, I'm with a few friends. Look, and you know who's down there? He points, and I'm looking, and then this person turns around. He was with a group of people. He was with, not with, but he was with the girl who I'd been in the friend zone with. She was off with a bunch of her friends, didn't invite me to the movies, had no idea I was going on a date, and she sees me. She doesn't come up to say hello. She's just down there.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? I'm
on a wave.
Date. Look at this. I'm on a date. Yep. Yep. And then he leaves. And now I'm like, this is unbelievable. This is perfect.
So it is like a scene from a movie.
I'm like, what are the odds? I'm like, she didn't want anything to do with me this weekend, and she's off doing it. And now, what a perfect scenario. Rather than me showing up and looking like, oh, I found out she went to the movie and
right.
did it. She sees me on a date with another girl, a very attractive girl, and looking like I hadn't had, like it didn't matter that we were just friends. So, you know, I moved on. And so now, you know, Clockwork Orange comes, and immediately me and my date, Laura, we're holding hands, and, you know, I'm feeling like I'm in high school again. And then this Clockwork Orange movie comes on, and I was like, oh, geez, you know, this is a little, this is the first time I think I started to think about A Clockwork Orange and how unsettling this movie could be.
Yeah.
For a female audience. And I'm a little nervous about it, quite honestly, because I'm on this date. And what if, you know, I don't know. Laura's, I think, seen it. Well, wouldn't you know, as the activities, almost from the get-go of this movie.
Yeah, that first 40 minutes is just.
The entire audience, made up mostly of film students.
Yeah.
They are roaring with laughter through the entire movie.
Yeah, I have seen Clockwork Orange with an audience like that. The people who get how funny it is. And it's a great experience.
I was learning something new. I was like, I never really watched Clockwork Orange as a dark comedy before.
But yeah, some of those performances are so comedic. And you know, like Mr. Deltoid.
Yes.
Cut out this clever talk about Millicent just because the police haven't picked you up lately. Doesn't, as you very well know, mean that you've not been up to some nastiness. There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? A few of a certain Billy Boy's friends were ambulanced off late, yes? Your name was mentioned. The words got through to me by the usual channel. Certain friends of yours were named also. Oh, nobody can prove anything about anybody, as usual. And I'm warning you, little Alex. Being a good friend to you as always, the one man in this sore and sick community who wants to save you from yourself.
But some of those performances are so big that they're really, if you get into the joy of them, they're really kind of hysterical.
Yeah, I mean, when you have an audience that's tuned in to the different level of the film, it can be a really wild experience.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious, but yet I think it wasn't until maybe years later that I reflected on that particular experience and said, you know, there's so much uncomfortableness, especially in the very, very brutal rape scene, that perhaps this was this audience's way to handle it in a different manner.
Yeah, I think it is an outlet for sort of that uncomfortable feeling those films give you. But, you know, here's the thing, though. I don't find myself laughing nervously or as an outlet during a Lars von Trier movie.
I'm laughing now, but yeah, his movies are not funny.
They're not funny, whereas Clockwork Orange actually is funny. It's not just nervous laughter.
Right. I think, again, we'll probably talk about A Clockwork Orange on another program.
Yeah.
It just shows you again the power of the director to get an audience on the side of a protagonist who you're supposed to really root against because
right.
he's awful and evil. And yet, this is the undeniable power of that movie. You cannot help but root for him
yes.
during the film.
Yes.
You like him.
Especially in the second half.
Yes. So anyways, the movie ends and everybody like gave it like a standing ovation at the end.
Right,
and it's great. And, you know, we exit the theater and now I walk up to the end of the street and now I'm on University Ave. And Laura lived a short distance away, but kind of in the opposite direction from where I was at. And I wanted to walk her home, but she said, no, I'm going to go my way. It's ridiculous. And what's weird is we didn't exchange phone numbers or anything. It's kind of like we'd see each other in class, you know,
right.
the next week. And so it was time to say goodbye. And then, you know, we lean in for like, you know, a goodbye kiss, quick kiss, but she wasn't having any of that. It was a full on in the sort of middle of a New York street and like, you know, after midnight, super big makeout session right there on the street. It felt like cameras were spinning around and then she walked away and I just felt this power of what romance in New York City could be like.
Yes, you had the romantic comedy moment.
And even if it was only going to be a moment and it was to never be repeated, I would have it always.
Yes.
And I remember just that short distance back to my apartment. I was almost felt like I was like not even walking on the sidewalk. I was just floating maybe just a few inches above it.
Yeah.
Like on like a little cloud. And it was just such a warm, wonderful feeling how the way I was feeling earlier that week had been
yes.
completely transformed.
Well, and I think that you know, I mean, that's what people are looking for in a romantic comedy is a little bit of a reminder of that feeling, right? Or in a romance movie, they want to somehow be brought back to those moments.
Yes, it's sort of like either A, they've never had that experience, so they have to live through it, whether
right.
it be a book or a movie, or they want to feel that magic again, and
yeah.
watching that type of movie can just bring that feeling.
Exactly.
Hello, everyone. This is Jim. Hope you have enjoyed this episode. Don't worry, we've got a lot more in the way of Valentine's alternative-themed movies and stories by yours truly and Teal. But there's just too much for one episode, so we are breaking it up into two parts, and you're going to be able to catch the second half of this episode of Stuff We've Seen later this week. But for now, enjoy this, and stay tuned for the conclusion of this episode.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitar and a...